you can be, and just the expectations and the hope before something happens can be even more intense than what actually happens.
Yeah, so for addiction, right, for the cocaine and taking all these things, it's the thought of wanting to do it as well as spiking that dopamine to make you go do it. So it's pretty, pretty dark path to go down if it gets to that level.
Yeah, especially it's super biologically dangerous. It's not even a mental thing too. It's within your hormones and neurotransmitters. So that's pretty hard to combat.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people with low dopamine levels.
Yeah, actually. A dopamine imbalance is linked to certain symptoms of depression. So you guys, if you don't know, low motivation, feeling helpless, a loss of interest in things that used to interest you. So I kind of thought you could tie that back to paying attention and learning new information. Just the absence of that dopamine, which used to provide that, it could also be a reason why you lose interest in things when you're depressed.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to move. You don't want to get up. You don't.
You don't want to learn something interesting because nothing isn't like nothing's interesting. Nothing's worth it.
Right.
And low serotonin actually doesn't contribute to depression, but increasing serotonin through SSRIs, which is selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, has actually been proven to help. Yeah, to help treat depression. And I just wanted to clarify the difference between serotonin and dopamine is because I got confused when I was researching a bit, but dopamine is central to the reward system. So that's motivation, desire, cravings. But serotonin plays a much bigger role in mood regulation and overall mood. It also affects how you process your emotions.
Right.
So SSRIs, they actually increase positive emotional processing over time, which then results in an overall mood shift.
Yeah, because usually when I hear of antidepressants, they're always made with trying to increase your serotonin levels. Interesting. Yeah, and the dopamine thing, back to that too. Also, people with ADHD have low dopamine levels, so I find that kind of interesting of how people with ADHD and people with depression both have low dopamine levels, but
I wonder if there's
expressed differently.
A comorbidity between between ADHD and depression. That could be linked as well. Maybe.
I believe there is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty crazy because this is probably a future question that will require a little more research, but I've always been pondering over the thought that people with low dopamine, because how are they always, for the ones that are the hyperactive kind of ADHD symptoms, how are they always so energetic and using up all the energy if they have low dopamine?
I'm not sure, but I know with depression you don't necessarily need to have all of the symptoms of depression to be diagnosed with it. Like, you don't need
the other
to have necessarily low energy, but
I think it's the DSMR is the criteria that they have, the criteria of depressive symptoms, and that you don't have to check off every single box, but there's a bunch of different kinds of symptoms that you, if you reach a certain number, then it's likely you have depression.
But ADHD, you're right, ADHD and depression, some of those
have low dopamine. Both have low dopamine.
Yeah, both have low dopamine, but the behaviors are kind of contradictory.
I've always been a bit confused about that. And I've actually asked a mental health professor at SFU about it before, but he actually couldn't answer me. Either. He said, read the textbook, but I was like, okay.
Classic professor response.
Gonna go home. So, but
yeah,
there is that. And dopamine is pretty detrimental on life. So another example of dopamine's effects is procrastination, which I think most people suffer from at least some form of procrastination. And it always just begins, you can see it at a neurological, a biological sense, that having low dopamine, you're not motivated to start your homework early, or because there's no reward of starting it early. You don't see the long-term benefit of getting that work done.
And especially if you're procrastinating with things that are giving you higher amounts of dopamine, it's just going to create a gap even further between you're having to do your homework but wanting to go on Instagram Reels. So your baseline dopamine is going to be really messed up.
Yeah, you
keep
getting
it makes it even harder to start like working.
Yeah, you keep getting those higher dopamine hits from going off to doing something more pleasurable. And then you go back and it's like, oh, back to this boring old task.
Yeah.
Your brain doesn't want to do that. It just wants the easiest path out. So
what solutions are there for that, though?
I know there are some solutions that I've been trying to use.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm sure. Procrastination is just so rewarding sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
Short term.
Yeah, short term. I have three particular examples of solutions that I think have worked for me. Two of them I think are pretty healthy, but the other one, no. But
don't follow the other one, guys.
Don't follow the other one, but I think most people already do it anyways. But the first one is try not to overlay your dopaminergic activities. So let me try to rephrase that. So example, when you are trying to study, to motivate yourself, I think most people would try to have a snack while studying or listen to music while studying. And so if you keep layering over those activities that give you more dopamine, like eating, you have a piece of chocolate while you study, you get hit by dopamine every time you eat it. And then you listen to rap music at the same time because you really like rap music, and you get more dopamine when you're doing studying. So it motivated you to do that studying initially. But then the next time you try to go to study, you don't have the chocolate or you don't have the music. And it feels 10 times more difficult to study and do that very monotonous or the very boring task at hand. And so that's something where you just don't overlay these activities, and it's going to be difficult and it's uncomfortable, but I found that it's easier to work in silence after the initial hump of discomfort. And then a second one, I found that you have to do something that's even harder before studying, which it sounds terrible.
Explain a little more, please.
This one I found works for me. I have been doing this I wasn't aware of myself doing this before, and then I found out that this is why sometimes I can get over procrastination humps, is that you have to do something such as taking a cold shower beforehand, or you get in a quick workout for about 10 minutes, get your heart pumping, and then sit down to study. But
that seems really difficult.
But the one that I usually use is staring at a wall for 10 minutes. It sounds crazy, but
I've done that procrastinating before. I can't go on my phone or read. Like, I can't do anything. I just have to stare at a wall. Like,
and it works, though.
Sometimes. I do know of one other technique. I haven't actually tried it yet, but my friend told me about it, and it seems a bit more plausible for people. It seems a little less hard. And it's basically just, for example, if you're procrastinating cleaning your room, instead of going in with the mindset that you're going to clean your whole room and finish it all, it's going to take hours, just set a goal that's very small. For example, picking up all of your socks from the floor or something. Something very achievable, won't take very long. But then once you start doing it, it's much easier to continue doing it and finish that task up.
Right.
So I haven't tried it because I'm a terrible procrastinator. I won't even want to do that. But I think for people out there, it could work.
Yeah, just
sure.
That initial, just do 5 minutes or just mm-hmm. do that one tiny little task, and then it's easier to get.
Yeah, just write your intro sentence.
Yeah.
So that's enough for the day, but then you'll probably want to keep going at it. So yeah.
Yeah. But even sometimes that initial 5 minutes is really difficult.
Yeah. That is probably the hardest part. That's the problem, is just getting up and starting it.
Yeah. So yeah, you could either do the 5 minutes or you can take a cold shower.
Yeah, or do something terrible.
Or
absolutely
sit,
awful
stare
before.
Stare at the wall or blow up a building and then go try to study. I don't know. Whatever your heart desires.
Yeah.
That's even harder than the task at hand.
Oh God.
And then the last one is coffee, which is not everyone knows about coffee, but
yeah. Doesn't coffee give you a dopamine hit, though?
I don't know a definite answer, but I know mm-hmm. that it isn't very big.
Okay.
Surprisingly.
That is surprising.
And it actually helps a lot with concentration for coffee. So mm-hmm. that would help with getting over trying to study. But it's not healthy to have coffee at 7 p.m. or trying to do those things.
That's
but
true.
I think that's something that most people already know of, but not the healthiest, but would work.
Mm-hmm.
It would work. So those are my solutions for dopamine.
Switching gears just a bit from procrastination, but it's a little bit more of a philosophical question for you, DJ Coco,
Ooh.
Or for you guys out there to think about too. Is there a right or wrong way to get your dopamine? Where's the line that you can draw where that's unhealthy and then this is totally acceptable?
Right.
Because I think there is a debate in general society of people thinking, well, drinking is wrong, smoking is wrong, all of these different things are wrong, but it varies from person to person based on whatever experiences that they have, so.
Right. Yeah, I think this might be straying from even dopamine.
Yeah.
But I see what
but
you...
But the things
the
that give you dopamine,
that give dopamine,
I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, because for things like promiscuity
mm-hmm.
is, I think, something that's looked down upon. But that is a sense of dopamine hit.
Mm-hmm.
Itself, and it's not wrong to like sleeping with other people. I don't want to. It's not bad at all, but mm-hmm. it's just what other people look down upon it. And then there's other things like being a workaholic gives you a sense of dopamine, and that's everyone praises being a workaholic
for sure.
It's like, oh, more work, great, good job, more
join
money.
The labor force, please.
So there's other things like that, and I personally don't agree with workaholic lifestyles
mm-hmm.
and things, but yeah, it's difficult. It is very
hard.
Philosophical. But what do you think, DJ Star?
Personally, I do have some opinions about what I could consider not necessarily a wrong way to get your dopamine, but definitely more of a detrimental way, like a self-destructive way to get dopamine. But it's not necessarily wrong. But I was thinking, in general, this is my hypothesis, but a lot of the ways that people separate what is good or bad ways to get dopamine is through religion, I think. Like,
Ooh.
For example, not drinking, not having sex before marriage, not, like, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is kind of a negative connotation with anything self-gratifying. Not necessarily in all religion, but there's definitely some religions out there where the aim is to get rid of those kinds of temptations or things like that.
It's always providing for other people
mm-hmm.
and not doing things for yourself. I think it being mm-hmm. selfless is something that's really a big element in a lot of religions.
Yeah.
I'd say. But what do you think about people who aren't religious? Then
yeah, then it is a pretty big free for all when people aren't religious, but even when people are religious, of course, they're not bound. Like, they're not forced to follow all of these, not rules, but...
So then the religious people would have to get their dopamine from things like food, would you say?
Maybe. Or maybe it comes out in other ways. I'm not... Yeah, maybe it comes out in
food,
other ways.
But you can't go sleep with this person, mm-hmm. and you can't drink.
But
yourself.
Some people deprive themselves of all kinds of addictive behaviors or dopamine. People diet. People don't drink. And I just wonder why. That's my question. Just why?
Yeah, I think definitely to each their own for what kind of dopamine people want. Mm-hmm. To partake, or dopamine activities they want to partake in. But yeah, it always, I do agree with that. Religion has a big mm-hmm. play in that, though. Yeah, but yeah, definitely. All in all, to each their own.
To each their own.
To each their own.
And then when addiction comes into play, it's more. It's not a bad thing, obviously, mm-hmm. but it is definitely a worry. For dopamine, you don't want to be getting your dopamine from an addictive pattern,
right?
Like, any kind of addiction is probably pretty negative for the person experiencing it.
Yeah, but even though the healthy versions of dopamine could also
be detrimental,
there's exercise addiction, which can also be mm-hmm. the other side of the story too, which is too much exercise,
yeah.
too much dopamine, and that's not good either.
What's considered healthier mentally, like an extreme addiction to exercise or drinking once in a while? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's why it's always a balance.
Yeah,
you have to be holistic about this, as always.
Yeah, gotta maintain that holistic lens.
Maintain the balance, but mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to get that question out there. Yeah.
But yeah, we also had another, I also had another thought. So do you have any struggles, would you say, with dopamine particularly? So like back to the behaviors mm-hmm. of technically good and bad dopamine behaviors, would you say that you struggle or had an issue with something that could also be not borderline addiction, but had mm-hmm. addictive behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Definitely right now, procrastination is mm-hmm. my major one. But in the past, I've definitely struggled with very low dopamine levels. I was super depressed for a year or two in high school. And looking back on it, I kind of see how a lot of my thought processes were just not backed by any dopamine whatsoever. It felt like there was no reward for doing anything because I was just constantly questioning, like, what even is the point of living? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was just, you can't give any value to things or any motivation to things when you just don't care at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely
a
struggle.
Story.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm better. I don't feel like that anymore.
Yeah. How did you get out of the rut? Was it the therapy? Did you take any medication?
It was kind of a combination of a bunch of different things. I didn't take any medication for it. It was nearing the end of high school, so I think that was a big thing, was graduating high school and just getting out of that environment. And I hate saying this, but I did start exercising more and that definitely helped.
Always exercise.
I also got off of birth control, and that, I'm not sure if that was like the reason why I was super depressed, but it coincided pretty perfectly with the time that I got off birth control too.
Interesting.
And
yeah,
like, depression is a side effect of birth control, so.
Oh wow, is it?
Yeah.
Oh geez,
it's a risk.
I heard that there was mood swings, but
it can cause it.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. But for everyone out there, it's you just want to monitor, kind of going off topic, but for birth control, you just want to monitor how you feel so you can get off of birth control if mm-hmm. you feel depressed, because I'm on it right now and I feel fine. So yeah, it's not like all birth control is bad.
Yeah. Maybe it was just the type or or the moment in time as well.
Yeah, so. it just depends on a lot of things.
Yeah.
How about you, DJ Coco?
I have one that been pretty recent. Just been getting into a lot of emotional eating, which is definitely something that has to do with dopamine, because we know that dopamine is the anticipation of having something. So, example, when I said the sandwich from before. And so even though I'm not hungry, if I just think about, for example, ice cream sandwich, we're going to an ice cream sandwich now, then I'm still not hungry, but just because I got that hit of dopamine, mm-hmm. I just really want to go get it. And it's also, it's a fine line between willpower as well, but it is a lot of struggles trying not to eat my heart out,
mm-hmm.
but, and as well, it's triggered a lot from whenever I feel anxious or whenever I get triggered by self-comparison or something, and I always just think, I should go to the pantry.
Yeah, that's going to make me feel good. Yeah. It's going to make me feel better, for sure.
So it's a fine line, and I've been okay with it, but it's something that's I've noticed getting worse for me lately, which I've been trying to read more and research more on why I'm doing it. But it won't pass, but I think I'll be able to find tips to manage it.
Yeah, I think it is also would flare up more when you're super stressed, and I know exams are happening right now too, so that might be a potential reason.
Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of students struggle with emotional eating, but just not being conscious of when you're hungry and when you're not, and getting, I think that can get overpowered by the dopamine. Wow, I am struggling with this word. Dopamine pathways that will take away from or mask over your natural hunger cues.
Yeah.
So that's something that personally I've been trying to work on.
Yeah.
And it kind of coincides with me trying to exercise more, and it's just getting a little bit spirally, but
yeah.
It's still being managed. It is being managed, all in all.
Yeah, doing research on it definitely helps whatever you're struggling with.
Yeah.
You're just, it makes you understand it better, which is always good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah. I think that's pretty much our thoughts on dopamine.
Yeah, there you have it, guys.
There you have it.
Dopamine.
I think that was a little longer as well. I thought this was going to be a little short conversation, but we had lots of thoughts today.
So yeah, of course.
We're going to go into a couple last songs. I don't think we're going to get through all of our playlists today, but the next one is from Claro's new album, Charm, that came out just about a week or so ago. Awesome album. I would recommend every single song. Slow Dance is the one we will be playing today, and this one is my personal favorite, so I'm really happy to be playing it, and we hope you enjoy.
Please enjoy.
Not mean Atención.
Yucasterio. Domingos 6 a 8 p.m.
6 a 8 p.m.
90.1 CJSF
Radio.
CJSF
90.1 FM.
Radio Mano Papachango
90.1 FM.
Yucasterio.
Atención.
Oh. Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You're tuning into Slumber Party. And just wanted to say that the last song I did introduce was Slow Dance by Claro, but I wanted to talk a little more about her other albums and, or not other albums, but I want to talk about this album particularly because it was just released and it's more about trying to charm someone and not flirt, but trying to get to know them better. And it's that moment of time when two people are just trying to not measure each other up, but
understand each other.
Understand,
maybe?
Yeah, is a better word. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's called Charm. And it's quite interesting because this was all about finding her own voice in this album, and her friends say to her that this album sounds just like her. But her parents actually disliked this album. Or not disliked, but they didn't believe in it as much as the other ones. But yeah, and I was meant to go see Claro a couple years ago, but COVID happened. Not good, but hopefully she comes back to Vancouver.
Yeah, I hope she comes to Vancouver. That'd be awesome.
For this album.
And I think that wraps it up for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening to us. We're here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Revolution Rock is up next. So
thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.